The sun was shining bright. A gentle breeze was blowing my way. Not a storm cloud inside. And then a storm surrounded my life, but even in the storm, I can feel the calm, and here's the reason why, 'cause I'm not a peacemaker, I know.
Well, they sing that second verse tonight. You're either in the storm or coming out of the storm or going in the storm. Maybe there's somebody here tonight in a storm. Ain't nothing to be ashamed of. It happens to all of us. And I'm telling you, I've been through some. I have been through some storm. But even in the storm, He's the peace speaker. I don't know what you're going through tonight, but I think we ought to just take a little while and just lay it on the altar, just like they're doing. Just lay your storm on the altar. Maybe somebody here tonight's going through a battle, and you that are on the mountaintop, come and pray with them. Put your arm around them and tell them, hey, I'm going to be with you. Pray with you till this storm's over in your life. Teenagers, mamas and daddy, financial storm, physical storm. It may be a bad report from a doctor. It may be a family situation. I don't know. But whatever your storm is, you're in the storm tonight. Come and let's pray while let's sing that second verse.
There's never been another man. He'll show up, won't he? With the power of this friend. By simply saying, peace be still. Oh, he can calm the strongest wind. That's why I never worry when the storms come
my way. Whatever your storm is tonight, put it on the altar. Give it to the Lord tonight.
I know
give
that
it
He'll
to
be
give
here
it to,
to drive away my fear so I can smile and say,
blessing tonight. I'm glad I know the peace speaker. As time goes on, you'll be more and more glad of that. As you get older, you'll start realizing that the things this world ain't, it don't matter no way.
You really don't.
Nothing in this world matters but that you know the peace speaker. Tonight, I want to take just a few minutes this evening. And I don't have an outline tonight, but I have just a thought on my heart that I like to bring to you. And I want you to look in Revelation chapter 20, the book of Revelation chapter 20. And we'll look at a verse of Scripture here tonight. I believe would be a help to us. Revelation chapter number 20. Now, if you look at Revelation 20, I'm looking for verse 4. Jeremy, if you'll stand up, read that real big and loud. I want you to listen to this verse of Scripture and see if it sounds like anything you've heard on the news lately. 24, I believe.
I saw thrones, they were set upon them, and judgment was given unto them. I saw the souls of them that were beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the Word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark upon their forehead or in their hands, and they lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years.
We are not there yet, but we are seeing that Scripture come to pass in our day already. There are people all over the world this evening that are sealing their testimony with their own blood and are beheaded for the witness of Jesus. I want to read you a part of an article here in this magazine. You don't hear the news on the news. You only hear a slanted view of the news on the news, and they'll never tell you the way it really is because it favors Christianity. And anytime it favors Christianity, you watch that news media dodge it. The spirit that leads the news media will dodge anything positive about Christianity. And I've got a picture of a man here. He's a pastor named Reverend Whale in Nigeria, Africa. This man here is a pastor. They begin to get persecuted in Nigeria as their Christians' homes were targeted and Christian villages were burned. Northern Nigeria, where 12 states have adopted Islamic Sharia law. But in these last few years, the violence has escalated into a group, a terrorist group, another terrorist group you probably haven't heard of, called Boko Haram. I'm not sure I'm pronouncing that right. H-A-R-A-M. Haram. Boko Haram means Western education is forbidden. And that's what they're teaching 12 states in Nigeria. Western education, that's us, Christianity, anything from the West, is forbidden. It became a household name because of its highly publicized kidnapping that was on the news about a year ago of 270 schoolgirls in Chibok. You remember seeing that on the news? Where all those schoolgirls, we got a picture of one of them in this magazine that I have here. And they claim objection to anything Western. Its current leader, Abu Bakr, I think I'm pronouncing it right, released a video this year clearly stating his jihad or a holy war against Christians. Quote, "This war is against Christians. I mean Christians, generally the infidels. Allah says we should finish them when we get them." One of the men who became annoyed by this preacher, Reverend Well, for declaring he was a pastor. He pulled out a knife to slash his throat and said, held the knife, and said, "Denounce Christianity," or he said, "I will slash your throat. And if you want us to spare your life, we convert to Islam." He did not weaken. He said, quote, "No, I cannot denounce Christ. How can I denounce Christ when I was the one teaching the Christians in the church not to deny Christ. I stand firm, not minding how my life will end. That old boy said, I'm standing firm. He said, you may cut my head off, but I will not denounce Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, that sounds like something in a movie to us here in the United States. But as you all know, we have had now a beheading in Oklahoma. The man who cut that woman's head off with a knife recently converted to Islam. His Facebook page was covered with things and pictures of beheadings in jihad fashion, and he shouted Islamic phrases while he was cutting the woman's throat. That woman was, late 50s maybe. She was a mother and a grandmother. Had her daughter and grandkids on TV the other night on the news. And that woman was working on her job. Her husband had come to pick her up that night at work. Can you imagine that? He's sitting outside waiting to pick his wife up. And all kinds, there's ambulances policemen, and they're wondering what's going on. His wife has no head on her body. He did it in the name of Islam. The news media immediately, the liberal part of the news media, immediately looked at it and said, now we don't know if this is a religious related crime. It's just a workplace crime. So you see immediately that the news media in our country is trying to downplay anything that has to do with jihad. So we don't really know what's going on. There were 250 Christians beheaded recently in other countries that never even got on the news. As for killing, quote, the leader of that group says, Allah says we should decapitate, we should amputate limbs, we should mutilate. We are fighting a religious war. We are fighting Christians. We never thought we'd see this in our generation. They say, this is a man, this is another man. I'm not even going to try to say his name. His picture here, he lives in Nigeria, Africa. And he and his family were awakened in the middle of the night by the sound of somebody pounding on the front door of their home in Nigeria. It was 11 o'clock, well past the hour for a neighborly visit, and so the only reason for somebody to be at the door was an emergency or worse, an attack on their village. The militants left this man for dead after shooting him in the face for refusing to become a Muslim. The only survivors were in the attack on November of 2012 after they raided home. All of them refused to convert to Islam, choosing to die rather than turn their backs on Christ. Now, ladies and gentlemen, those people over there are proving to us what real Christians are. The apostles, did you know the apostles, those that followed Jesus Christ, every one of them died a violent martyr's death except for John. And John was excommunicated to the Isle of Patmos where he wrote the book of Revelation. History says they tried to boil him in oil. The Bible don't say it, but history said, and he wouldn't die, and so they put him over there in the Isle of Patmos, and God gave him the book of Revelation. But every one of the other disciples, they were beheaded, they were crucified upside down, they were beat to death with halberd axes and hammers, they were dragged through the streets of Jerusalem until their guts came out of their body, every single one of them. Now, when you convert to Jesus Christ, we make a pledge and a bond to the Lord that will live for Him. If He saved our soul from hell, I know. Somebody asked me, they said, Brother Danny, what do you think? Listen, I hope and pray we'd have enough God and Christianity to stay faithful to Him. But if you won't even stay faithful to Him when a dirty movie comes on, you probably ain't going to stay faithful to Him when it comes time to die. Amen? That's right. If you won't even stay faithful enough to Him just to push one meal back and do without one meal of food, you probably ain't going to stay faithful to Him when it really gets bad. If footmen tire you, what will the horses do? Now tonight, I'm just going to say a few things and give you my burden for this. The Bible said in the last days there would be famines. And we're seeing that. The Bible said in the last days there would be earthquakes. And we're seeing that. Now the Bible said here, people are beheaded. And then he said disease. I've had about two or three people say, now Brother Danny, when you and Kelly go down there to that airport in Dallas, they said, you better wear you a mask. You better wear gloves up to here. You better wear, and I'm not going to go through the Dallas airport. With gloves and a mask on. I mean, maybe you need to. I don't know. But they said there's Ebola now in our country. And that fellow had contact with 100 people, and ain't no telling. I mean, and that's true. They ain't. But anyway, we're seeing disease that we never thought happened before. Now, let me just illustrate it just for a minute where we are. Need some strong men up here. Jeremy, come. Brother Derek, you come. Fan, you come over here. Get my chart over there and roll it out. One over there and one right here in the middle and one right over here. If y'all do this for me, I'd appreciate it. And just roll that thing out here. And I want to show you a little bit about where we are on God's calendar. Now, that's been rolled up over there for a while and abused a little bit, but I believe we can get it right. Hand that to him. And let me show you where we are on God's calendar. Now, if y'all hold that up about neck high, where everybody can see it, you can get where you can see it. That's just a little bit of a chart. If it ain't too much, a little bit higher, and we won't have to look at y'all. Amen. They're hard on the eyes, and boys are. I'm just kidding. If that ain't too hard on you, just hold it there just a second. Now, this is a chart showing where we are on God's calendar. I should have put it up on the wall, but I didn't know I was going to do this. You know that the Lord created everything, and He created the first day, light, the second day, the permanent, the third day, vegetation, the fourth day, He made the sun, the fifth day, the fish and the fowl, the sixth day, He made man, and then of course the seventh day is the day of rest. God did that for a reason. That's a picture of the whole history of the world. What does the Bible say? Study to show thyself approved unto God, rightly dividing the word of truth. Now, each one of those created days would represent 1,000 years of the history of this world. The Bible said one day is as the Lord is 1,000 years, and vice versa. 1,000 years is as one day. All kinds of scripture. I ain't got time. I could give you a whole lesson on how we know that's right. But if you let each one of these days represent 1,000 years, you got 1,000, 2,000, Noah's flood, 3,000, 4,000, Jesus dies on the cross. You know how that's right? Because God made the sun on the fourth day. The S-U-N. The S-U-N is a picture of the S-O-N in the Bible, all the way through the Bible. The S-U-N. So the sun shows up on the fourth day. Jesus dies on the cross on the fourth 1,000 years. Then you've got 2,000 from the cross to the rapture or to the millennial reign of Christ. This is the seventh day, and on the seventh day, God did rest. Now you've got this period in between here called the 7 years tribulation. 3.5 years false peace. 3.5 years of plagues and antichrist. That scripture that we read to you a minute ago in Revelation chapter 20 is right here. It's halfway through the tribulation when their heads will be cut off. But we are seeing it right here. We're at 2014 right here before this big arrow. Is it getting tired back there? Is it getting hard to hold up? Okay, let me know. Y'all give out back here. We'll let some of these girls do it. I'm just kidding. That's hard to hold your hands up. Let me know if you get tired. All right, we'll be done in at least 2 hours, okay? By 9 o'clock. All right, now see, these monsters are coming out in the tribulation right here. And they're going to come out and get us. But anyway, we are right here. We are at 2014. So if we're already seeing the famine, and we're already seeing the beheadings, and we're already seeing the diseases, and we're already seeing the mark of the beast and rock music and the witches and signs of the time, if we're already seeing what's going to be happening here, how close must we be to right there? I'm telling you, people, the Lord could come tonight. He could come tonight. There is not one verse of Scripture that would prohibit the trumpet from sounding and us leaving out of here tonight. And I don't know about you. I ain't trying to sound religious. I'd say, glory to God, let her rip, Lord. Let's get out of here. I ain't been perfect, and I dread facing the judgment seat of Christ. I'm telling you, the best thing could happen to us for the Lord to call us on out of here. I guarantee you, them Christians in Nigeria would say, even so, come quickly, Lord Jesus. You say, well, I'm trying to build me a new house. Listen, we're going to have one up there to knock your eyes out. One girl told me, she said, well, Brother Danny, don't pray for the Lord to come back so I can get married. And I thought, that's why they call you dumb blondes, brother. You think getting married is better than going to heaven? Tell them, married people. I mean, thank God for it, but it ain't heaven. It can be hell if you ain't careful. Turn me down a little bit, fellas. Listen, I'm going to tell you something tonight. But I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, we are there. We are there, ladies and gentlemen. We are there. We are right here. There is not one scripture that has to be fulfilled. You say, what about the sun turning to blood? That's here. You say, what about the moon or moon getting dark? That's here. You say, what about the 666? That's here. Matter of fact, the 666 is not necessary, not law until halfway through the tribulation. When the Antichrist will go in and sit down on the temple and declare that he is God. That's what Matthew 4 talks about, the abomination of desolation. When you see the abomination of desolation, spoken of by Daniel the prophet, let them which be in Judea flee to the wilderness. Those Jews are going to be running from the Antichrist during this time right here. That's why the Bible said, woe unto them that are with child and them that give suck in those days. He's not talking about the rapture. He's talking about people running from the Antichrist during the tribulation. It ain't going to make no difference. You're with child here, brother, or you got a baby nursing. You're going out. So this is the millennial rest. This happens when we come back down with the Lord. So I wanted you to see tonight that we are right here. We are seeing Sharia law. Who ever heard tell us such a thing as Sharia law till just recently? Now we're all familiar with it. I know people didn't even know what a Muslim was until just the last few years. We have been invaded. We have been absolutely invaded, ladies and gentlemen, by that. We're the signs of the times, brother. This is the signs of the times. Are y'all listening to me? Jesus is coming. Jesus is coming. Don't fool around. Don't get out here and mess around and act stupid. Don't let the devil. This ain't no time to backslide. This ain't no time to be falling out of the wagon. This ain't no time to be giving up. We are right there getting ready to get raptured out of this world. Amen. And he said right here, they'd be cutting their heads off. Thousands of them. I remember preaching that for years and years. And honest to goodness, I believe the Bible. But I remember thinking, oh, they ain't really going to... Does it really mean they're really going to cut people's heads off in this modern age? I thought, they'll put them in an electric chair. I always thought about that guillotine. You know, they're going to bring the guillotine back where you put your head in there and that big thing falls down. Like that. And somebody said they're getting them things out somewhere in some of the countries. But it said they were beheaded. And then when this stuff started a few weeks ago, I thought of that scripture. Revelation 20 verse 4. And it said them souls of them that are beheaded. Can you imagine what the Lord's going to do for them people when they get to heaven? What if I sit up here tonight and I said, everybody here gets $10 million and you can travel the rest of your life. You'll never have to work the rest of your life. You can have anything. You'd be happy. You think what the Lord's going to do for them people when they get to heaven. That laid down their life and said, I don't care. I know what He done for me and I'll not deny Him. Okay? Y'all can go ahead and take it over there, fellas. Rolled up. Thank you very much. But we'll get that out and use it more later. It's been a while. It's been a while since I've used it. It needs ironing. And we're going to have to show you tonight before I close. What should a Christian do? You say, Brother Danny, are we really that close to the Lord coming back? Well, I heard a preacher say something the other day on the radio, and I'm going to say this and I'm going to stop. Did you know that God destroyed the days of the flood, Sodom and Gomorrah, and the days of the flood with Noah in Genesis 6, Sodom and Gomorrah in Genesis 19? And God destroyed the folks in the days of Noah because they were eating, drinking, living it up, have no kind of respect for God, no faith in the Lord. and live like the devil. God wiped the whole world out. And then he did in Lot's day, burn Sodom and Gomorrah. We had a study here the other Wednesday night. One of the most interesting studies we've had in a long time. Our kids are growing up in a generation that you and I never knew when we was growing up. We was watching Brother Wayne, him was over at the house. It's been probably, I don't know, 3 or 4 weeks ago. And I wanted to show him, the WNBA. It's women's NBA, women's basketball. And I never have. I see women play basketball. Girl, it's not a game for girls. It's not, really, it's not. Ain't nothing personal. I mean, volleyball ain't for boys. There are exceptions, but most of the time, Shelley's exception. Some others are exceptions, but I tell you what it'll do, what it's doing. These women are on there playing ball. And there was this girl, honest to goodness, she was 6'6", 6 foot six. And I know we got kids in here and this is a mixed audience. Without being too plain, she did not look like a girl at all. At all. You would never know it was a girl. I don't even think it was a girl. I think it might be now. But it wasn't used to be, maybe. This thing was running down the floor like that, 6 foot six. Dunk a basketball. And the star, and they showed, they said, she, whatever, is the star tonight. And it, you know how it'll show, there's her mama, there's her fiance, and it showed a girl in the crowd, her fiance. And listen, you've got to remember, we got little kids growing up, second grade, third grade, fourth grade, thinking that's the way the world is. They think it. One of our men sitting here tonight, talking about the school down in Hickory, said eighth grade girls, their parents are complaining because of the lesbian activity as eighth grade girls in the restroom at school. Right down the road here. What's going on in Los Angeles? New York. Now, I'm going to tell you something tonight. The Lord said, as it was in the days of Lot, so shall it be in the day. He told us it's coming. He told us it's coming. And I'm going to tell every parent here tonight, you better let them little boys be little boys. Let them get their hands dirty. Let them fall in the mud. They need to get their nose bloody a little bit. And don't let them be sissies. Let them little girls be little girls. Let them be little girls, because in another 10 years, if the Lord don't come another 10 years, they'll make fun of your kids if they're not at least bisexual. They're going to make fun of them at school. They already are. They already are. I don't want you to even get too plain tonight, but that's the day we're living in. We didn't have that in our generation. They are growing up. They are growing up thinking this is normal. And if a kid sits there every night and watches MTV and VH1 and they see all these shows, well, I was like this and I knew since I was 4 that I was really a woman and all that. And then the devil starts putting it in their head. Now, most of us, buddy, we're safe. We're homebound. It ain't going to happen. But these kids growing up are highly impressionable. And let me say one more thing while I'm on this subject. I wasn't even going to talk about this tonight. If you're a parent here tonight and thinks it couldn't happen to your kid, you better pray and you better pray and you better pray some more. Ahead of your own kid. It could happen to anybody's kid. If you see that much, you better do something fast. And I'd jerk them out of public school in a heartbeat if I thought they're influencing my kids that way. Or any other kind of school, for that matter. Or neighborhood. It does make a difference who you let your kids play with. It does make a difference who they hang around, who comes home with them, who they go home with. It makes a major... All it takes is one or two crazy, perverted experiences and it'll push them one way or the other for the rest of their life. They didn't have... Listen to me. They didn't have internet in Noah's day, y'all. They did not have X-rated TV. They didn't have lights and images and cell phones. They didn't have stuff like that. There was no such thing as internet. I don't even want to talk so plain, y'all. I remember boys when I was in the eighth grade, they thought looking at something dirty was looking at the Sears catalog. I remember that. I know you laugh, you think that's funny, but they, I remember that. I remember my cousin's laugh. I said, oh man, look at that. There's a girl in a bathing suit. Now they got right at their fingertips anything in this world they want to see. And all they got to do is turn the light out at night and got that phone while mom and dad's in the other room. But this world's wicked, let me tell you. And the Lord said, as it was in the days of Noah, so shall it be. I ain't no prophet of gloom. I'm preaching something positive. The Lord's going to come and get us out of this mess. But we just might as well face facts. This world rotten. Rotten. What should we do? We ought to stay in church. We ought to keep our kids in the ever good. Keep them in these camp meetings. Get them around old-fashioned preaching. Let them hear John Mitchell and Frankie and all these guys. Let them hear a man get up and take them cowboy boots and stomp this pulpit and beat his fist on the and sound masculine. Let them see a Christian woman that wears a nice modest clothes and nice clothes and be clothed and keep herself right and upright and do right. Let them see that. Let them see it. Let them know there's some Christians in this world. And pray over them. And stay right with God. Let's bow our heads for prayer. Let's everybody bow your head. They're going to come get a song tonight.